Good morning, everybody. It is good to be here. Pastor, thanks for having me back in. I figured the Lord did a good work last time you had me come back, so that's a good thing. Amen. If you don't know, I know he already told you, I'm a local boy. I'm from this area, and it's just amazing what God can do in a person's life. You know, I was highly involved in athletics when I was younger. I loved them. I put them first place, and how many know that's not a good thing? It's not. It's really not. But I realized that I was in pursuit of something that had an end, you know, and it really did. No matter what career you're involved in, what you do in life, it brings a certain amount of fulfillment by doing things. And I found some fulfillment in playing sports, but that came to an end. And at the end of that rope, I found Jesus. Well, I didn't find Jesus. He actually found me. He's not lost. We're lost. And he finds us, and he sets up appointments. And so he did that in my life and radically changed my life. And so it is a privilege to be here today. I began to weep just on one of the songs because I can feel the presence of God here, and that's what's most important. Amen. It's most important that the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, and very confident that He's going to do that today. And the reason why is because that's His desire. His desire is you. His desire is me. The Bible says God is mindful of us. That is incredible. I mean, there's never a time that you're not on His mind. There's never a time where I'm not on His mind. That's amazing to me. He's God. He knows. He's just amazing. And it's incredible God could take a person like me in school. I got through school because I could run a ball pretty well. But I could hardly read. I shared some of that before. But God doesn't, He's not concerned about all that stuff. All He needs is a willing heart. And today, wherever you're at in your life, this is a divine appointment. There's nothing by chance. You're not here by chance, and God really wants to speak to your heart today. You know, whether you've been in church as long as your pastor has, and you know the Word of God, and you can teach the Word of God, how many know God always wants to do something new in your life? Amen. New. I mean, we need, you know, new is good. People like new stuff. God wants to do something new. And the good news is this: His mercies are what? Come on, church. Yeah, so no matter how you came in here today, whether you missed it or messed up, His mercies are new today. Man, I so love that. I mean, just because you're a minister or a pastor, you need the same mercy as everybody else. Can you say amen to that? So let's pray, and I'm going to get into the message that the Lord gave me. I don't preach other than what God tells me to preach. And once He tells me that I can speak on it, I know I can. I got the goods. Amen. So, Father, we just thank You for today. You are incredible. You are an amazing God. And it's overwhelming at times of Your goodness and Your mercy. I pray for Your anointing to flow through this place today, Lord. I pray for deposits being made today. The Word of God does not return void. It is set out to accomplish Your will. Not our will, but Your will. That's what we want today. Your will today be done, Lord, in our lives. Pierce the hearts of every person here. Speak to our hearts. Cause us to grow, Lord, and mature in You so we can help others that are here on this earth. We are passing through, Lord. We are not even citizens here. If we're born again Christians and children of God, we are passing through. But as we pass through, Lord, let our hands reach out. Let our feet do what You've called us to do as the body of Christ. And change people's lives. And we thank You for Your word today. It is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to do a work on the inside of us today. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Well, I got a little funny for you. How many like jokes? It's okay to laugh in church. Did you know that? So there was this cat and mouse, and both of them passed away. And I know, if you're an animal lover, some people don't believe animals go to heaven. I believe there's animals in heaven, okay? I believe God will give you the desires of your heart. I believe if you had a pet and it passed and you want it there, I believe God can make that happen. I used to not think that, but I've changed my thinking. How many know God can change your thinking? Yeah. I mean, I've seen people love their pets more than people sometimes, and that ain't right, but I understand that because sometimes dogs have unconditional love that we're supposed to have. Anyway, there was a cat and mouse. They both passed away. They meet Peter at the pearly gates. You know, I don't know if that's really doctrinally right or not, but anyway, people always say that, and they get there, they meet Peter, and he welcomes them into heaven, and about a week later, he sees the mouse, And he says, "Mouse, hey, how you doing?" He says, "How do you like heaven?" He says, "Man, heaven's awesome. It's glorious." And he says, "But you know, I'd always really wanted some of those rollerblades, you know, to skate around and stuff." And Peter goes, "Oh yeah, we got those." He got him some rollerblades and he just skated off and everything. About a week later, he sees the cat. He asks the cat, how do you like heaven? The cat says, "Man, heaven is amazing. And just when I thought it couldn't get any better, I discovered the Meals on Wheels." Hallelujah. How many know a merry heart does good like medicine? I know this, the enemy is working very, very hard for you not to enjoy your life. As Christians, I know sometimes you have to throw that stuff off you. Life gets heavy. We need to enjoy life. We need to laugh a whole lot more. Hey, this is a word for somebody. Listen, I know we take our Christianity serious, but if you miss it, don't take it so serious that you condemn yourself and you live in a low state like you're no good dirty dog, because that's not the truth. No matter what you've done or how bad it's been, you can go back to Jesus and that mercy causes you to start over again. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, at our church, I tell them all the time, I'm real good at getting back up. The Bible says a righteous man, that's who you are if you have Christ. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. A righteous man falls seven times, but seven times he what? He gets back up. Just get back up, dust yourself off, and say, "God, I'm not perfect. You know that, but you are, and I'm pursuing perfection." Just keep pursuing, and he'll change your life. He'll clean things up slowly. How many believe that? I'd like it to say it's always a quick work, but it's not always a quick work. It's called steps of faith. We walk by faith, not by what? Sight. Just keep walking. Today, the message that God has given me is to talk about our created value. Okay? Our created value. And the reason why I want to talk about this, because I know this, if I don't get the right image of myself, I'll never be able to walk like God. Actually, if I don't get the right image of Him, first I have to know Him. That's why the Apostle Paul said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Because really what Paul was really saying is, once I get to know Him, I'm going to know who I am in Him. And that's vitally important. I know growing up, my father left when I was young. And I don't know if you know this, but I've done some statistics on this. Young ladies growing up, they look to their mom. That's where they're going to get a lot of their identity. But young men look to their fathers for their identity. And my dad took off when I was 9 years old. And, you know, he went off, he left. It was a bad thing that he did. I mean, I have no unforgiveness towards him or anything, but he made his choice and he left. And I just didn't have a father to throw the ball with or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, that creates a certain amount of image in yourself. You know, and I found this out, that when I started serving God, how many know when God speaks to you, it changes everything? Amen. Really, it does away with a lot of excuses in your life, okay? It does. When God speaks to you, God isn't about excuses or complaining. And I'm going to say this is going to be a strong word, but God hates complaining. He does. That's a strong word, but He hates it. He still loves people no matter what, but He wants us to grow up. And so what the Lord spoke to me was, is that I was saying, "Well, God, I didn't have a father." And He said, "What do you mean? What do you mean you don't have a father?" You know, remember in the text it says that Jesus even said, "Call no natural man your father, for you have one father." See, He's pointing to the source. Jesus is saying we need to get our identity through Christ, but really what He did is He says, "I've come to show you the Father." That's it. I want to show you the nature of my Father. I want to show you what He's like. How many know that sometimes, I don't know about you, but me, when I first started serving God, Pastor, I started to get a little legalistic at times. And the reason why, I was excited about God. I just wanted to tell people about God, and my life began to change pretty quickly because my desire was there. If you want to change, your desires change, you will change. If you want more of God, you'll get more of God. And man, I would preach to everybody, even people that didn't want to hear it, you know? I mean, just give it to it force feed. I mean, just get it in there. And sometimes that can be not so good. How many know that? But I was zealous, and I became legalistic. I began to be everybody's Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? You know, don't say that, don't do that. You know what? People are not real fond of that. But when Jesus began to deal with people, it was different. It was different than anybody ever dealt with people. You know, remember the woman at the well? Remember the, not the well, that was one woman, but remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? Come on, that is an amazing, the way Jesus dealt with that woman, her life was never the same, I promise you. It was never the same. Here the Pharisees and the scribes are, the teacher of the word. They knew the word inside and out, but they were very legalistic. They brought her to Jesus, and I don't understand the whole story, because how did they know? I mean, you know, people usually don't commit adultery out in the open. You know that, right? It's usually through, you know, closed doors, but something was going on. Their motives were entirely wrong. Really, their motive was to do one thing, to get to Jesus. Did you know that? To destroy Jesus. The Bible says they hated Jesus without a cause. They had no reason. He went about doing good, but they hated him. And they bring this woman that's caught in the act of adultery, and they throw her at Jesus' feet. He's teaching, and they throw him at her at his feet, and they say, the law, the Bible says, in other words, their Bible at that time, says that such a woman like this should be stoned. What do you say? Jesus says it says that Jesus bent down, he began to draw in the dirt, and they rushed him. Come on, what are you saying? You know, have you ever had anybody rush you? It can be a little irritating. But Jesus just calm, stands up and says, he who is without sin cast what? The first stone. I want you to know today, that's how God deals with people. Now, it's interesting though, because this is the image of God. This is how we need to see Jesus, how he deals with things. But he doesn't end there, see? He doesn't say, oh, you're doing fine, your life will be fine. He says, no, he says to her, he says, go, neither do I condemn you. Does anybody condemn you, he says? And the lady says, no. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know, that's what Jesus would say to us today, go and sin no more. How many know that sin isn't like, sin is, I wish I had about 2 hours, but I don't. Sin, here's what the Lord spoke to me a while ago. Sin, we understand it as missing the mark. How many know when you're shooting for something? You're wanting to hit something? I was zealous as a young man. I'm shooting for things. I'm shooting for to live according to the Word of God. And I'm shooting, and sometimes you miss. Really what you're shooting for is love. Did you know that? See, you're shooting for love. But when you miss the mark, they call it missing the mark. Missing what God's best is. That's what I like to say. Really, when you miss it, it's you're missing God's best in your life. So for me, as I begin to study the Word of God, this is what the Lord showed me. He says, what sin does is it separates. So you need to get a hold of this today. If you don't have it already, a hold of this. But sin separates. Think about the relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden. When sin came in, what did it do to the relationship? See, because what happened is in that garden, what happened is they died spiritually. They tasted spiritual death. And when that happened, they were separated from God. See, that's all sin ever does. I'll prove it to you. The Ten Commandments, they need to be in the schools. They need to be there because here's the reason. If you really, really love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you really, really love your wife, you won't commit adultery. Because when that sin gets in, guess what it's going to do to that relationship? It's going to separate it. See, that's all sin does. If I lie to somebody, it's messing up my relationship with that person. That's it. And when I saw this, it's like, bingo, the light came on. Okay, God doesn't want me to do these things because the most important thing to God is His creation and the relationship He can have with them. Light and darkness don't mix. God is light. When we walk in darkness, the fellowship is not going to be very good. You're going to feel condemned. But you can. Here's the good news. We can always run back into that glorious light, ask for forgiveness. It cleanses our soul so we can find out our creative value in Him. Because I've been created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. That's what, when I got born again, God says, I want to use you, boy. I want to use you. And I'm going to clean you up so I can use you for my glory. How many know what I'm talking about? Listen, there is no greater joy on this earth than to be used by God. There's no more humbling thing either, but it's a wonderful thing. And in it, when we begin to do what God's called us to do, what happens is insecurities go away because you understand your creative value. In the first chapter, let's go to some scriptures here. I know that would be important. Wouldn't that be important? Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. It says this, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to what? Our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over all the cattle, over all the earth." Can't even read my own writing. "Over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. He created him. Notice he's the creator. Amen? I was telling somebody the other day, I said, look outside. I said, look at creation. We know, every human being knows there's a creator. It is impossible to look at a tree, to look at things, look at nature, and say, there's no God. I said to a guy one time, I don't think he liked it very much, but sometimes people got to get mad before they get glad. Sometimes they do. I ain't into rubbing people the wrong way, but sometimes they just need to know the truth in love. How many believe that? The truth will set you free. That's a fact. And so I said to him, I said, you know, the Bible says the fool says in their heart there is no God. Look outside. There's a God. There's a creator. And he created everything. The Bible says in 6 days, did he not? In 6 days he created everything? On the seventh day he rested? But it's very interesting how important we are to God. Because he created everything before he created man. Did you know that? You know why? Because he's a good, good father. He wanted to make sure every provision was taken care of before he made his children. Before he created us in his image and in his likeness. I don't know about you. That makes me have faith to know no matter what it is, God will provide for me. He's already went before me, the Bible says. He's got it all available. If you're struggling in finances, I encourage you to do it God's way and just trust him. Amen? Amen? Do it God's way and you don't have to worry anymore. You say, you don't have to worry? No, God doesn't even want you to worry. See, because he's always setting you up for success as children. It takes faith, okay? It takes trusting God. We walk by faith, not by sight. But I found it interesting that God created everything, then he made man. Why? Because he was meeting all his needs. Every single one of them he already met. Then he created God, mankind in his image and in his likeness. If you want to know what you're like, if you're a born-again Christian, you're like God on the inside. Now this takes some renewing of the mind. How many know that? Because you're like, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, you're a born-again Christian. You got the good stuff on the inside of you. It really doesn't get any better than that. But you have to renew your mind to that. Because the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. So what we need to do is realize we've been created in his image and in his likeness, so we got to think like him. Amen? Actually, I'm not preaching on it right now, but I preached 2 weeks just now, on last week and the week before, on having the right state of mind. And I won't get into that, but we need to have the right state of mind. So, for me to look at myself any less than God says who I am would be discounting what God did. You say, what about my sin? What about it? It's gone. Why think about it? I'm learning that no matter what I do, and I don't go out there, I'm not looking to go out and, you know, Christians don't get up and say things like this. I wonder how much sin I can do today. You don't, not a true born-again Christian, because the nature of God that's on the inside, you don't want to sin. Your flesh likes to sin. This stuff, about 180 pounds of this flesh in my mind, if it's not renewed, it wants to go out and do sinful things every single day. But I have to realize I've been created in his image and in his likeness, and I change my thinking, I change my actions, because that's how my creator, Jesus Christ, the one that created everything that there is, I want to be just like him. How many want to be like Jesus? Listen, if you're pursuing the creator, Jesus Christ, how many know that he's the one that created everything? He is. People say, what? No, he created everything that's here, and he is amazing. He'll never give up on me, and he always believes the best in me. And so when I see Jesus, when I can actually see Jesus and have a revelation of who he is, I'm basically looking at myself in a mirror. In James, it says the Word of God. When we look into the Word of God, it's telling us everything we are. How many think that it's important to read the Bible then, like your pastor said? You won't even know who you are if you don't. You'll be an error. But once you begin to renew your mind, your spirit is fed. I say it this way. If you don't put it in, it can't come out. Amen? See, a renewed mind, you may have never heard this. I'm not teaching a new doctrine or anything. But you may have never heard this before. But you don't renew your mind from the outside. You renew it from the inside out. And the reason why is once this brother gets a revelation on his in his heart of knowing who he is, then when things happen, he can bring that right back out and renew his mind and his thinking. See, you need to be a walking Bible. The Word of God has been written upon your hearts and upon your, what? Then your mind, in Hebrews it says. So what I do is when I don't have my Bible, I put God's Word on the inside of me so much, I got an answer for everything. I'm not like a know-it-all in a bad way, but you know the truth. Am I right, Pastor? And you can bring it right out at the right time. God will lead you as a child of God and guide you into all truth. That's the goal, is to know our Creator in such a way that we know His nature and how He'll act in every situation. How many know what I'm talking about? Here's what it's really tested, is when trials come, when somebody makes you mad. You know, I haven't been mad in a long time. I mean, I'm talking about where you feel like you're going to lose control. How many maybe still deal with some of that sometimes? It's okay, yeah. Yeah, you're being honest. You know, honesty is the first step. Did you know that, of change? It really is when you're honest with yourself. You know, a while ago, it's so funny how we are as believers sometimes. Sometimes we'll wait a while to get things right with God. It's like, as He don't know already. You know, He knows. So I don't even mess around with it. I just get it right. If I start getting angry, like a while ago at work, I started getting angry about something because something wasn't working out the way that I wanted it to. That's usually when you get angry. When you don't get it your way. But then on the inside, my point is, on the inside, the Holy Spirit said, "Do you want to go there?" And I said, "No, I don't." And you know, you don't have to. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. You know, I tell people at the church, people all the time at our church, people do what they want to do. People get into sin, it's because they wanted to. But here's the thing, if you want to serve God and you want to make choices and the Holy Spirit empowering you, there's nothing you can't do for God. People do what they want to. How many know you have a desire to do what's right? Did you know that? The Bible says the desire of the righteous, that's you, is only good. So I have the right desire on the inside because that's my spirit and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding me, but I still have to make decisions in my own will. My mind, my will, my emotions. I have to make decisions. And I'll tell you what, works this way. When you do it God's way, you never regret it. When you don't, you always regret it. Isn't that not how it works? I mean, if you just suffer through a little bit, a little time, it's like you got a temptation. How many ever deal with temptation? Well, if you haven't yet, before you walk out the doors, you might. It's truth. Every day we're tempted in our thinking. But we can renew ourselves with the Word that has been put on the inside and make the right choices. Why? Because we can choose to do it the way that our Creator, Jesus Christ, has chose to do things. Nobody has ever made me get mad. Nobody. I chose to get mad. Nobody had ever made me get into sin. I chose to. But here's the thing. I'm learning that, you know what, no matter how hard it gets, I can still choose. There's two things that I know I'm in control over. Only two. I thought for a while, my faith, you know how you get faith? Sometimes you think, well, if I have enough faith, I can change everything around me. What about using faith to change your own personal life, your character? You know, everybody's wanting, well, I'd be happy if this, I'd just have more money. No, you wouldn't. That's totally ludicrous. It's a joke. How many, I know some rich people. They're not happy. They're messed up. They have terrible relationships with people. Terrible relationships. But they can change. If they do it God's way, guess what? If you'll do it God's way, every one of your family members, he will make sure he'll pull them into the kingdom of God. You'll love them unconditionally. How many know what I'm talking about? You may not think it, but they're coming in. Amen? If you've been believing for your family member to get saved, God's going to bring them in. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it in my own personal life. I mean, check this out. I'm from California, right? I moved to Oregon. My whole family moves to Oregon and is involved in my church. Didn't ask them to. One person can make a difference. And you're the person that can make a difference. I'm the person that can make a difference in somebody's life. But we have to realize how valuable we are. I wrote this down in my notes. If you don't know the value of something, you will abuse it. You'll abuse it. But if you value something, think of if it, say it's a possession or something, your car, a lot of people's car, I mean, they value that thing, they don't want to scratch in it, nothing. What are they doing? They value it. God's value that He puts on mankind is incredible. I mean, you know, something's only worth the amount that you'll pay for it. Did you know that? There's Rolex watches for $10,000. Can you imagine that? A $10,000. I would honestly, I'd probably get rid of it if somebody gave it to me. I was like, oh, I just don't. But you know what? Somebody said it's that valuable, and somebody's willing to pay that much. Think about it this way. The Bible says that God was like a merchant seeking for what? Precious pearls. That when He found one of them, He gave everything He got to purchase that. Is that not what He did with His only begotten Son? Now, what that does to your value, it makes me go, man, I'm valuable. You know, when I'd run down the field a whole bunch of times scoring these touchdowns and stuff, it made me feel valuable. I know this is such a good message for us to grab a hold of today because I thought I was something because people were praising me. It made me feel valuable. It made me feel accepted. People liked me. But here's the thing. Now I'm at a place in my life, whether nobody likes me or not, I don't have to be insecure. I don't have to be worried. Because the one that loves me more than anybody else could love me values me so much that He gave His Son for me. Amen. He gave His Son for me. His only Son. He didn't have five of them. He had one. What that does to me is makes me feel loved. What I've found is when people are truly loved, they feel secure. There's no more insecurity. When I feel loved, I know that I'm going to be okay. You know, you can't even have great faith if you don't know you're loved in God. If you don't know that God loves you unconditionally, you can't have trust in Him. That's why it says that love is the number one commandment and that we need to know that God loves us. Some people are in here and you're in a situation right now and it doesn't look good. Let me tell you something. God is working in that situation. If you will just keep giving your heart back to God, how many know you just keep giving your heart back to God? It's not a one-time event, people. I mean, if you're married, you don't just give your heart, oh, there it is, that's all you get, honey, one day. No, every day we're supposed to be giving our heart to God or the ones that we love. Here's what I found is when I give my heart to God every single day, I keep my heart right. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Right. See, the heart is most important. And what happens is people do mean and nasty and ugly things to us, and we get our eyes on people and not on our Creator. And what happens is we start changing our thinking, and we don't treat people the way they should be treated. Does this make sense today? It's simple. God is not making things confusing. What happens is the enemy, as soon as somebody does something bad to you, the enemy comes in and he's the accuser of the brethren, all of us. He don't care who it is. He's got to get some deception in there. If there's somebody that has done something to you, listen, it's an absolute must that you keep your heart right. Absolute. I don't care what they've done to you. You say, you don't know what they've done. Listen, I've had some crazy things happen to me. Christian people do some things to me, lie about me, try to destroy my church, everything. I mean, if I told you some of the stories, you'd say, well, why? Who would do that? People do stuff. People do stuff. Just when I think I've seen it all, and I'm a young man and everything, if somebody will do something just crazy. And if you don't watch it, you'll get on the bandwagon and go, really, did they do that to you? My goodness. I've never heard of such a thing. You know, Jesus dealt with all of it. And that's how I want to deal with it. Amen. just like he dealt with it. And I can. I can, because if I look to him, I get the right image. I see him for who he is. Now I know if I was to catch somebody in the act of adultery, I would not judge them. What I mean by that is this. Most people know that their sin. They have a conscience, people. They have a conscience. There's a time where you're direct with people, but when people are hurting, you always are gentle and kind when they're hurting. And now I know how to deal with that. I'll be direct, but I would say, hey, you know what? His mercies are new every morning when they're broken. How many with broken people, that's how you deal with them? And you nurse them back to where they need to be. You never say to anybody that sin's okay, because that's what's destroying their life. That's what's destroying them. You can't, you know, here's the thing, and I'm not afraid at all to say it. I don't know where you're at in your life. Okay, listen, if you're involved in a homosexual relationship, listen, God is not okay with that. Not at all, and never will be. But he doesn't see that sin. Most people think that sin's way worse than maybe somebody looking at pornography and lusting. They're the same to God. And he loves the person so much that he say, listen, that is exactly what's destroying your life. Now, I understand that people have tendencies and their flesh likes certain things. That's why Paul said, I crucify my flesh, what? Daily. I put it under, no matter the way it feels, if it's contrary to the word of God, that's not right. And it never will be. Never will be. I don't know about you, but I think God's right. No matter how I feel. No matter how I feel, God is still right. You know, my flesh has wanted to justify some things too. Well, I really like that. It feels good. God says it's wrong. Then it's wrong. Amen? And the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It says what is that? It's a rebuke, to rebuke people. Did you know that God sometimes rebukes people? Then he corrects people. Then he gives instruction in righteousness. And the reason why, it's not for his benefit, it's for my benefit. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Are you liking it so far? It's getting the right image of who God is and really finding out who he's made you to be. And it's a lifelong journey, isn't it, Pastor? It's a lifelong journey. Here's the thing. We're pressing in, but we're never going to fully arrive. I don't want to disappoint you, okay? You're never going to fully arrive to perfection, okay? I'm not trying to disappoint you. I am an encourager. You need to understand, you're going to miss it sometimes, but you just get back up. And what happens, just like a baby, they start walking. Pretty soon, they don't fall down anymore. Now, once they learn how to walk and get the right balance, because that's what God wants. He wants the right balance in our lives. So we don't go too far to this way or that way. It's just the narrow path. Did he not say that broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. But narrow is the path that leads to life. And then here's the thing. And he said, difficult is the way. And there are few that find it. And I'm going to tell you what I believe the reason why. Is because they don't continue to pursue. They don't continue. They fall, they get discouraged, and they quit. Okay? But if you will not quit, if you'll repent, and you'll keep walking by faith, here's what will happen. After a while, you'll start walking, and you don't even realize you're changing. You don't even realize it. But you just keep pursuing it, and then you look back. There's one day you'll look back 5 years from now because you pursued God. And you're going to say, this is what you're going to say, I promise you, because this is how it's worked in my life. Man, I've changed in some areas. I was changing, and I didn't realize I was changing. That's incredible, because God's working. He's behind the scenes working in your life, all over. He's just amazing. Can you say amen? Amen. My encouragement to us today is keep walking by faith. Let nothing detour you, not even your failures. Do not. Because I've noticed this, Pastor, that's when he beats me up. You can be mean to me, I will forgive you. I don't have any unforgiveness towards any person at all. But sometimes I'm harder on myself than I'd be on anybody else. Maybe that's the athletic side. Because when I was, I just felt like, you know, if we didn't win, it was probably because of me. That's just this is my nature. I like to win. How many like to win? Listen, in Christ, we win. Did you know that? We win. We win. When it's all said and done, if we keep pursuing, there'll be a day that we'll go, man, we didn't do every play right, but we win. You know why? Because your coach, his name is Jesus, and he don't call any bad plays. You just got to find out what the plays are, and they're in that book. Amen? And then you run them. I remember Coach Lawn. Coach Lawn was my coach. Some of you may know him. We'd run a play like 17 times in a row. What's the point of this? I think we got this. No, we're going to get this thing perfect. You know, that's what you do in life. Sometimes life gets over. It's the same thing over and over again. But keep running the plays. Keep doing what God's called you to do. You'll never know who you're affecting by doing it. Amen? On the way here, I don't know the man, but he's from McKinleyville. He's 25 years old. On the way here, I stopped at a gas station, the Shell, and I went in there, and there's this young man. He had road rash all down his arms, all the back of his neck. He looked like he'd been in a fight, but I looked at him and I thought, that ain't no fight. Because I've been in some fights in a long time ago. not lately, but I know what a fight looks like, okay? And it wasn't. And I was walking out of the store. He goes, hey, can you give me a ride to the coast? Can you give me a ride? I need a ride. And I looked at him. You know, I'm just like you. I looked at him, his outward man. I thought, okay, this guy's asking for a ride. You know what? I'm going to give him a ride. I gave him a ride. You know what? Just being who I am in Jesus, guess what? I had opportunity to share with this guy. He got in a wreck the night before. Got a DUI. He's alive, though. Praise God. God spared his life. He don't even know it, but God spared his life, probably. And what am I doing? I'm just sharing with him about my relationship with Jesus Christ. Didn't quote a bunch of scriptures. Not that that's bad, but I'm just sharing because I know my Creator. I know who He is. When you know somebody, you can talk about them. You can tell them the nature of them. You know what I told him? I said, you know what? I just talked. I always use my own personal life when I start talking to somebody. I said, I just realized how much God loved me unconditionally. I just started talking about the unconditional love of God because that's what he needs to hear right now. You know what? In the car, honestly, he was cussing, all this stuff. You know what? I paid it no attention. I did. That didn't offend you? No, it didn't offend me at all. How can I expect him, if he's not a Christian, to act like me? Come on. He's by nature, he's a sinner, and he needs to get born again. And God will work on him from the inside out. But I gave him a ride, told him how much God loved him, and you know what? He's on his way. I'll never know what the outcome would be. You know, me coming here today, that may be exactly what God wanted to do the whole time. That might be the most important thing that happens all day. Just a normal day, traveling down the road. That's who we are as a church. We need to be here for people. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have to know our Creator. I know I'm probably running a little bit short on time, but let's get into a few more scriptures. Let's go to Matthew. Nope, let's not do that. Let's go to Matthew. Yes, let's go to Matthew. Chapter 6. I do know what I'm doing up here with God's help. Chapter 6, verses 24 through 33. Now, I think I will end with this. And I asked Pastor if I could pray for some people today, just so it kind of prepare your heart. How many know He's our Creator? Mm-hmm. And He can do creative miracles. If you need a miracle in your life, that's easy for God. I want you to understand, all that stuff, healing, all that stuff, it's easy. It's not a matter of God. It's not a matter of God wants to. He's already made it available. It's already available. He's already done that. By His stripes, you were healed. Not trying to get healed. You were healed. Okay? Creative miracles. People stop believing for this stuff. But they shouldn't. Because God can do anything. He created everything that you see. He's not done creating. Amen? He can do a creative miracle. So just be ready. Just want to pray for some people. Lay hands on some people just like the Bible says, and let's see what God does. But you need to hook your faith to it right now. Because you need to know and be convinced that, you know what, when that pastor, not because I'm something great, it's just anybody could lay hands, but it's a matter of believing. It's a matter of just believing a point of contact that, you know what, when he prays for me, I'm going to get what God says I have. Amen? Amen. So, okay, Matthew chapter 6, let's start reading with verse 24. 25, it's 24. I'm all mixed up here, but it'd be do us some good to read more scripture than less, right? Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more, what? Value than they?" See, God is saying something here. This worrying thing, it's a bad thing, okay? And I know just as well as you feel like sometimes, I know that you would say, it's impossible not to worry. That's not true. You don't have to worry. If God says, do not worry, guess what? You don't have to worry. God will never ask you to do something you can't do. Remember, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So everything that was created, animals, everything, we are much more, I know most of you know this, we are much more valuable than everything else that's on this earth, because everything here is for us. Did you know that? We may be abusing some things, but it's for us to enjoy. God has given us all things to enjoy. You can enjoy it because we are so valuable. Now, worry, I don't know if your pastor's probably told you this before, but he'll correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Worry and sin. Let me prove it. In Hebrews, it said they had an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is sin. See, what we do is we take the Ten Commandments, and we say that if you break one of those, that's sin. That's true. That is actually true. But when you don't trust God, you're saying your Creator is less than, or He cannot provide your needs. No matter what you need, God has already made it available through the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. It's already available. But what happens is because we are not of the world, but we live in the world, the enemy is coming for one reason, to come after what you believe in God's word. Remember the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4? It says, when does the devil come? Immediately. So immediately after you hear this message, you go out the door, he's going to try to talk you into that you don't have creative value in God. That's exactly what's going to happen. Every single time. I've noticed in my own life, when I'm believing God for something and something good happens, guess what's around the corner? So you're like, here's how you feel sometimes in life. I'm with you. I'm with you. I took two steps forward and three back. But you know what? It's a setup for God. Every single time, if you'll stay in faith. Because when God does something, when God touches people and heals people today, I know people that have been healed by God and 2 weeks later, they lose their healing. Because the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. You get healed by God. When he touches you, you got to hang on to it. In other words, you got to be in denial. In other words, you got to be in denial. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, I deny that. When you start to feel the symptoms again, you can say, by the authority of Jesus Christ, you can say, no, that ain't happening here. I know this stuff works because this is how I live. Okay? I don't know if you remember, I got hurt really bad about a year ago. I had nerve damage. Last time I was here, I had nerve damage all down my arm. I could not hold my arm out in front of me. It would just drop. No strength. I thought my nerves, the enemy would just come to my mind and say, oh, your arm's never going to work again. See, immediately he comes. Well, the Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm going to take that. Guess what? This arm is almost completely as strong as the other one. I lift weights. I always say the same thing. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm not going to take anything less. I'm going to deny the enemy access to my mind. And as soon as he says I'm not healed, or as soon as he says that my finances will not be paid for, or whatever I need to take care of, I put the word on it. Why? Because I know my creative value. I know how valuable I am to God, and He's going to take care of me. Does this make sense? And don't worry. When worry comes, deny it. Deny its ability to get on the inside of your head. How many of the devil's working on your head? He's working on your head to disrupt your heart. He is. He's working on your head. But today, what I do know is that when I know my creative value, He can't lie to me anymore. When I know who I am in Christ, He can't lie to me anymore. He's in big trouble then. Big trouble. Oh, I may fail, but I still know who I am. Doesn't change God's mind. Your failures never change God's mind about you. Never. Yeah, are you sure about that, Pastor? Yeah. He'll never change His mind about you. He'll never stop loving you. Whole world needs to know how much God, through Jesus Christ, loved them. It's awesome that we know that today, isn't it? How many know that today? How many know that God wants to do creative miracles today? He wants to do creative miracles today. Pastor, I just want to pray for some people, just like I said. If you're here today, listen, like I said, there's nothing special about me other than God just wants to use me today. That's it. He wants me to pray for people, and then the Holy Spirit is going to touch people. If you desire it, and if you want healing, or if you need a creative miracle in your life, God can do that. The greatest miracle ever is somebody coming from, what, death to life, being born again. That's a miracle. Did you know that? Because God creates a new spirit in you. So if you're also here today, like your pastor said earlier, and you've never been born again, Jesus said this. He said, you must be born again to enter in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say might. He said, you must be. God wants you to be a brand new person today. If you're not born again. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to have to make a step. God says if you will confess His Son, Jesus Christ, if you will do that, He'll confess you before the Father. And what happens is a miracle happens on the inside of you. When I was 13, I got born again, and something happened on the inside. If you need that today, that's the greatest miracle. Create a miracle that could ever happen. If you need that today, don't miss out on it. Don't do it. Because if you do, there's regret. Okay? But there is no regret in getting born again. I never regretted making Jesus Christ my personal Savior. Never. Never. I mean, for a time I was out smoking dope and drinking, and people would start talking about God. I still knew God was real. Why? Because Jesus was like, hey, what are you doing? I mean, I've never been there. Come on. You've been there. Hey, what are you doing? God will talk to you like that. I said, well, you know what I'm doing. But you know what? My heart turned, and I started living for God. It's been a wonderful thing, and I've never regretted it. So if you're here today, all I want to do is pray with you. And if you're here today and you're not one of the people that are being prayed for, and I'd like you, Pastor, if you'd help me lay hands on people, we'll pray together, that'd be awesome. But if you're not, please just be praying for the people that come up here. The Bible says that two will do better than one, amen, when it comes to prayer. If we agree as touching anything, agree upon anything, it'll be done by our Father which is in heaven. So today, if you need prayer in your body, if you need a miracle, if you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, please come today. Please come forward. There's no shame in this. I mean, get what God has for you today. Amen? Come forward. We'll pray for you. And just know that God, He's an amazing God. Sure, that'd be awesome. Actually, I need a little bit of a drink of water. How many know when you talk a lot, your mouth gets a little dry? Thank you very much.